Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Storyboards with Esther Holm, brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is a poetry group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the site up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. I also like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so we can geek out live. And to create a join, you can knock on the door and an admin will let you in. You can chat on the boards, see our topics. We're on every night, mostly every night of the week with different topics, different hosts, and a lot of fun. Today on Storyboards, we really focus here on stories and characters brought to life in those stories. And, yeah, we kind of just geeked out a lot here. I also want to say a thank you to AP Taylor for
Sponsoring,
that's the word. Thank you. I was spoiled with my old intro being recorded. Thank you so much for sponsoring the Blog Talk page. Thank you very much, AP Taylor, and thank you, Rackin, for being my mind. Tonight we are celebrating, well, everybody knows it's my favorite month because, you know,
they're here.
Oh, that's really low. Right, we got some poltergeist, witch, zombie, like we've got everything. Plus, autumn has the most beautiful colors. It's my favorite season. It is my favorite month is October. You could probably tell by the million topics and the million contests that I run personally for my shutter button. I am just so excited pretty much this entire month. So if you don't like overly excited people, probably just ignore me for the whole month of October. But a little bit about our topic tonight. We are doing, it's the first week of the month, and always in the first week of the month, we celebrate Star Wars. We're taking a break in our regular scheduled program with the million and one Star Wars that I've done in chronological order, but we are skipping, and we're going to be going to a Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales, because it is Halloween season, it's spooky season. So a little bit about the music that's going to be played here tonight. We opened with a few, and we'll be closing with a few. And a little bit about it is Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales is a 2021 animated special based on the Star Wars franchise and produced by Lucasfilm Animation and Lego Group alongside Atomic Cartoons. Like the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, it is directed by Ken Cunningham, from a script written by David Shane, a standalone sequel to the Star Wars sequel trilogy. The special was done on Disney. The composer was Michael Kremer, and please stand by for a few more announcements on him. In the meantime, it is so funny. I really was just dying the entire time I watched it. I was so excited. Like they had so many puns, so many jokes, and they went off of other fandom, which I love because everybody knows that I love storyboard twists and things like that, and that's basically what it did. It took other fandoms, and it kind of just went kind of crazy. But Michael Kremer is a two-time Emmy nominated composer and multi-instrumentalist for film, television, and video games, a graduate of USC's prestigious film scoring program. He scores the hit Cartoon Network TV series Lego, Ninjago, Masters of Spin Jiu-Jitsu. Oh, look at this. Rack. for which he received a 2020 Emmy Award nomination for more than 10 years and counting. The show is one of the network's longest-running animated programs and airs in more than 30 countries. So there's a little bit about him, and I hope you enjoyed the music. I really did. And, yeah, we're going to kick it off right away by saying hello to our first caller, who was luckily not muted and right there. How are you doing today, Raconteur?
I wonder who that first caller might be.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, I love the orchestra's ability to carry a mood without saying a word, just the inflections of the horns and everything. There's moments that are iconic in the playbacks, like they make these motions or these things that you're so familiar with, but you kind of take it for granted, and it's usually the same kind of music. It's like that those tinkle, 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 and you know they're doing like the Khmer or the it's one of those things that's repetitious, and you get used to it almost like Pavlov, and it's like you don't even have to see it to know what's going on. It's lovely when they could do something like that and convey a mood without saying a word.
Oh yeah, I agree. There's film scores I obviously love and film score that I love. And there's a few that I just could listen to over and over again, and the entire set of music. Star Wars is definitely one of them. And Game of Thrones, Raman Djawadi, he is a newer one to me, was a newer one to me when Game of Thrones came out. And he did something that John Williams did with Star Wars, and he made themes for the characters. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the Imperial March, you think Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. You know, every character, not every character, but a lot of the larger, well-known characters have themes. And when you hear those themes, you're like, oh, that's Luke's theme and all these things. And Raman Djawadi took that idea and did it with Game of Thrones and did it with the houses, the House Lannister, House Stark, and he did all the themes. And I just really enjoy when they do that specifically. And it's a brilliant, the Game of Thrones film score series score, mm-hmm. is brilliant to me. Anyway, I really, really, really love it. I would say if I had to do a top five film score or a series score, that would be in my top five, definitely. But this one, we opened with Tales of Terror, Gabrielle's Castle Vader, and this we almost missed one because it sneaked all the way down here. I don't know how it got all the way down here, but Nightmare on Ren Street, which I thought was hilarious. Because obviously it's a play on Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's also a play on Kylo Ren. And I know that we're not there in our series. We're not at Kylo Ren yet, but we are going to be jumping a little bit because this episode does have a lot of the newer stuff in it. So I can't wait to get in.
A little foreshadowing.
Oh yes, there we go. There's a way to spin it. A little bit of foreshadowing. It's going to be awesome. Before I get into anything too crazy, since we're right at the beginning, do you have anything that you want to plug, Raconteur?
My show's all the way at the end of the month, so you got plenty of time to write for it. Haven't gotten the topic board up yet, but it's basically just going to be like a monster mash. Any bring me your monsters, villains, anything that's, spooky. What would you dress up for Halloween, any of those things. Poltergeist fit in, it's all relevant. It's all boo, surprise.
Mm-hmm. It's all related. I feel like you can relate anything to anything, though. So that is October 31st at 10 p.m.?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And you say relate anything to it. That's part of the fun, I think, of Halloween, because people have gone as other people, as normal people, nothing phantasmical or anything. It's just, I'm going as, Eddie Van Halen, or I'm going as, such and such or so-and-so. You could go as anybody or be anything. So that's the fun of it.
Yeah, Yeah, I agree. I feel like you would, I still feel like you would go, you would love to do the costumes, like those dry humor costumes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't think of anything at the top of my head right now, but you know what I'm talking about. Like those witty, punny, like you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. I feel like you would be really good at those. I don't know if I'm as creative as that, but I feel like I am going to go. So I have a Halloween party at the dojo later this month, and for last year in school, we did a spirit week. And for the spirit week, they did like fandom day, a book character. They did like all these different things. And I have a big Mad Hatter hat, and I put on a white collared shirt, and I have like a vest, like one of those men's, like just the a vest. I don't know how else to describe it, other than a vest. So I had that, and I had, like, this really silky scarf, so kind of, like, replicating the Mad Hatter. And I was thinking about doing that for the costume party, but I think I'm going to do something else. I think I'm going to try something different. They have this really good – they only open the store. It's huge. It's a little bit far from me, but they only open it during Halloween, and I think I'm going to drive down there, and I'm going to see about getting something different, and then I'll be dressing up for the Halloween party at the dojo, so that'll be really fun. Well, we probably won't be doing any moves, hopefully. My friend's going as Spidey, and he is a great Spider-Man because he can do all the moves and the jumps and the kicks, and just he's so great. So I don't know how he plans on snacking at the party because he has a real professional level costume. Like it has the plates and it has the full mask underneath the zip-up thing. Like it's real. He's really into that.
That's cool.
So he's not going to be able to snack, but yeah. So it's going to be fun. And, yeah, it's going to be so much fun. I don't even know how – oh, we were plugging. I'm like, how did we get here? Okay.
Yeah.
So my – just since we're plugging our shows right now, I'm just going to plug my next show. And the next time I'm on is – it's next Tuesday, but I have to figure out what that is. The 10th. Oh, no, it's not next Tuesday. It's the 17th. Okay, great. So on the 17th, we're going down the tube, really random stuff with Miss Darkholm. Since you do have to do homework, I put a miss in front of it. and it's, have you ever spent hours clicking on random videos on YouTube? I know I have. There are three really random things I've learned about. Pick one and write about the prompt. Be inspired, fiction, reality, or metaphor, or mix all three. This one's really fun, and we are going to be playing we're going to be playing all the story in bits. It's not that long, but I am going to break it up. We're going to be doing The Wind by Ray Bradbury. I'm a huge Ray Bradbury fan. It's not something that I've ever brought to the shows. Except when I used to do book versus movie, I think I did Fahrenheit 451, but I really love Ray Bradbury, and I think I would really fair to say that I've read the bulk most of his work. I think I have most of his work under my belt. Do I remember it all over the years? Probably not, but at some point I think I've read almost, I would say, 90% of his work. And I love his radio theater days that they used to do. They used to make his short stories into radio theater. And it's just really fun. And The Wind is one of my favorites, and it's spooky. So you could write to that story. And even if you don't get a chance to listen to the whole thing and then write about it, you could just look at the synopsis and then kind of just jump and make your own and then you get to hear it on the night of the show. So you don't have to sit there and listen to the half an hour broadcast. You can just look at the synopsis, see what it's about, and be inspired. Or you could. You could listen to the whole thing, or you could wait for the show. Your choice. Prompt 2, I thought this was a cool one because it reminded me of the Red Apple in Snow White. And I thought, well, it's spooky. How spooky is poison apples? I think that's pretty spooky. So this is Little Apples of Death, and it's a little name that's really for the manchineal tree, and it's a real tree that is, like, it's real. And their apples are so, so deadly. So it's also a public service announcement, I feel. If you ever come across this tree, you know, you don't want to die. So, and then we went a little more mist, which I also like. And we, our prompt 3 is the puka. And it's a cool little thing. And you'll have to watch it and figure it out yourself because I'm not going to explain it right now. And it's cool, though. It's really, really cool and creepy. So watch the video. It's pretty cool. And if you want to learn about it more, come back the 17th, and you'll be able to hear about it, and we'll be talking about it. And I'm also on the 24th, just as a heads up, it's going to be Shutter Button Poetry. And you can, I'm not a good reader of text and incoming. You can bring any poem written for or a new write written for any of my Shutter Button contests. I am up to like 600 and something. Oh no, not any poem. I'm sorry. The ones that are written for my Oktoberfest. So last month I could bring any poem. This time I'm limiting it. I have been running Oktoberfest for at least 3 years, maybe 4. And during the month of October, because I'm so excited about October, I open up, and I have opened up for the past 3 or 4 years. It's Deb thinks I'm alone. Because she probably sees the studio. Okay. So I'm just going to answer her so she knows that I'm not alone. Although Hatter is always welcome. So I have, the past 3 or 4 years, have been running the Oktoberfest contest. And they're just like my Shutter, they are the Shutter Button, but it's October-themed pictures. So they come, you can be skeletons. My mom did a whole picture series because I usually do my photos or my mom's. And she did this whole troll series, so she had, like, a little troll looking over a pumpkin. And she went to, like, all these different places and just set up the trolls, and they were so cute. And so there's so many of them. Like I said, there's at least 30 for 3 years back, and then I'm also running new ones this year. So I have 5 contests open now, and there's going to be another – What's 31 minus 5, Rat? 26, is that what it is?
Yes, ma'am.
There's going to be a lot, so you have plenty of chances to write. So there's all that. Let me let someone on. Hello, Hatter.
Unmuted. Hi.
Hi,
keep
how are you?
Early show. Hot in California.
So here's the thing. I'm happy to have you, like if you call just so that I wasn't alone and you're not quite ready yet, which I do, you're welcome to stay, and I appreciate it. Rack had a little bit of phone trouble, and I had to three-way call him on my phone. Or two-way call? How does that work?
three-way, yeah.
Yeah.
We're conferenced in.
Yeah, we're conferenced in because he was having trouble with his phone. So, or with Blog Talk was not accepting his calls. How are you doing, Hatter?
I'm okay. I was running late lately, but I'm all right.
Oh, you're early. You weren't running late. But you know what, though? You sound very low. Like, you sound very quiet.
Okay. Is this better?
A little. Are you far away from the
little
phone?
No,
okay, well,
right up to my face.
He's all the way in California.
Yeah, that's kind of far away.
You know, if I can't hear you, I'll just press this button, all right?
Bueller.
Okay.
Bueller.
Oh.
Bueller.
What? All right.
Did you hear it? Did you
hear it? I heard it.
Bueller.
It was really low, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's my phone. Maybe it's really low because my phone's low, but Rack's really loud. It is my phone. Hatter, you're fine. That's why all the clips sound low. Okay, that makes sense. Rack probably sounds loud because he's on my line.
I'm chewing up your resources.
No. My volume was down. My volume on my phone was down. All right, Hatter, try again.
Unmuted.
Hatter?
Yes.
You went the wrong.
Hear me
up.
Hear me okay? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Is there anybody there?
Okay. Yeah. Is anybody out there? Hello? Yeah, you're that Pink Floyd, right?
Yes.
All right, so what did, so where was I?
You were plugging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, okay. And then I know I just plugged two shows, but now that since I'm on a roll, I might as well just do my next storyboards. And I'm so excited for this, I cannot even tell you. We are doing next week, we are doing The Haunting of Hill House mini-series. Is that next week? I feel like, yes, it is. It's next week. I am so excited about this. Netflix came out with this anthology series. It was only two series, but they did The Haunting of Hill House and the Haunting of Bly Manor. And I love these two series. I love them so much. The books were great. There is a disclaimer. I am usually the first one to say the book is so much better. It's so much different. Why did they change it? But there are so many different versions of The Haunting of Hill House. And they've done a good job on some versions that are truer to the book. This one is nothing like the book. They took like the characters and the ideas and then they just did what they wanted to. But I really, really loved it. I loved it so much. And the same thing with, I love Shirley Jackson. Shirley Jackson wrote the short story. And the same thing with Ray Bradbury. I've read Shirley Jackson. I've read a multitude of short stories from her, not just this one. And she's so great. And even though they changed it, I was kind of okay with that because I've seen so many different The Haunting of Hill House versions that they've done it well at least one time. These people just went creative, and I was okay with that. I really, really enjoyed it. So we will be doing the Haunting of Hill House miniseries. I'm so excited to see where you guys go with it. 8 o'clock. So I've got a lot of stuff coming up. Keep tuned. And Hatter, since we just decided to plug shows at the first of the show, would you like to plug your show since you're here?
My show, Saturday?
Yep.
It got changed. We're doing Saturday is a, oh, shoot. It's something. let me go look.
Well, what is
God
that?
Darn.
Saturday is
well,
the 7th,
we,
right?
We, yeah, it's, yeah. I can't
open
get to that
poetry.
Now. Yeah,
open
that's
poetry
right.
With
open
with A.T. Taylor, Jay Hatter, and Deborah Lee.
Yeah. Oh, welcome. Show us what you got.
Awesome. Okay. All right. So let's get into it. I am going to, so Hatter, I don't know how long you've been with the topic, but we are, it's every first of the month on Storyboards. I do Star Wars. I've been doing it for a while. We're on volume 25, and I think there's about 38 in total, mm-hmm. So we'll be doing it for a while longer. And 38 is a rough estimate. And it's Terrifying Tales, and I'm so excited. So I am going to play my first section of clips, yes. I'm going to do the whole thing together, the whole first story. Like, it was like little mini stories, and I really loved them so much. And I thought, we're going to have a lot of fun with this. So I'm going to play them, and then we're going to drop a poem. So, and then hopefully by then I will get rid of these hiccups that just came up. So, all right. So here we go. Oh, I have the trailer. I didn't even play the trailer. Let's play the trailer, and then I'll go into it's called, the first one is Terrifying Tales, Lost Boy Kylo, and it's a spoof on Lost Boys, which I love. So here we go.
Got a bad feeling about this. What is this place?
Castle Vader, the galaxy's first all-inclusive luxury theme resort.
Feel the power of the dark side at the Empire Emporium. Now open. Now open. Now open.
Within these walls lies tales almost too terrifying to tell. Would you like to hear them?
Was that lightning inside?
Oh, that's a big one!
The legendary tales of the Sith speak of the thirst for power.
So no, join us then, and take what you want.
Will you leave? This isn't fun!
The devotion of the undead.
Rise! Rise!
Uh-oh. And submitted for your approval, a tale of desire.
I wish I was a pilot.
Join the Imperial Academy.
I will train you.
Oh, yeah!
Is that really what happened?
No, it's not.
Be afraid! Be very afraid!
So, what do you think?
A little on the nose is what I think.
Everyone gets scared, kid. Without fear, you can't have courage.
Here's B1496-1138.
Power of the dark side. So, what do you think?
A little on the nose is what I think. I mean, you could say evil fortress on the hill without saying, you know? Look at this place. You could really use something. Anything. The chair mat.
Oh.
Anywho, no time to sit around. We've got a galaxy to conquer. Who is that? Who are you?
Vanae is but the humble servant to Darth Vader, Lord of the Sith. I've prepared your bath, Master.
Conquer now, tubby time later. Let's go.
But my castle...
Ugh, fine. You, Darth Hideous, keep an eye on the place.
It would be Vanae's honor to serve. Vanae has something to show the brave pilot. NIL-8 showed them. Behold, the helmet of Ren.
You say Ren? As in...
Kylo? This helmet belonged to the one who helped create him. Would you like to hear its tale?
The man said he's in a rush!
Tell me.
This is the tale of a powerful warrior who longed for more.
Excellent, Ben.
This is such a waste of time, Uncle Luke. I'm so much stronger than all of them.
Patience. There are no shortcuts to becoming a Jedi.
How is this lame rock stacking going to make me a great Jedi?
I sense your frustration, nephew.
Really? Wow. Did you use the Force to sense that?
He'll be fine, R2. He just has more to learn.
Master Skywalker, I think I did it! Ow.
Every time with you, Cosler.
Solo!
You aren't Jedi. Are you Sith?
The Knights of Ren live by our own code. Use our power to take what we want. You have skills, yet you follow that fossil Skywalker when you could have so much more. You could be one of us. Or are you afraid?
Yeah!
Damn those old rags. The Knights of Ren have a reputation.
Really? Not again. Would you please? Would you just... This isn't funny!
Kylo?
Yeah, Kylo. Small, weak, scared.
Kylo, Kylo, Kylo.
I'm not scared. I'm not a Kylo.
Then take what you want.
What I want.
You to leave me alone!
Wrong choice, kid. Knights of Ren, destroy the temple. Was yours for the taking, but you're too scared, Kylo.
Keep calling me that. I'm starting to like it. Rock stacking. Go figure.
Awesome. I was just about to say hello to AC, but he dropped. That's just hilarious. What I love about it, like, even you can see in the trailer, like, when he was like, here's, you know, and then he does the B1438 whatever, and doing the here's shotting spoof.
There are a lot of little nods like that throughout the whole thing. What was Tales from the Sith instead of Tales from the Crypt? You know, there was he was spoofing Twilight Zone in there too at one point, and what was the other one? I mean, it was fantastic.
There was a lot of them, yeah. And then the whole story, you know, it even had that 80s music from the Lost Boys. I just absolutely loved it. So brilliant, so brilliant. Okay, so I don't know if AP's calling back. AP, sorry. When I do a theory set like that, it's hard to clip them off in the middle of it. So hopefully you can call back. But for now, oh, Deb. Yeah, it can be. All right, so let's see.
Blogtuck is behaving in the spirit of spooky season and being a nightmare.
I know. Yeah, so it's so exciting. I mean, just everything in this is just, and the humor I thought you would particularly like. So hold on. So I'm going to drop the first poem. And I love this one. All right. So, Hatter, do you have a poem?
I was working on it. I was having some trouble. So let me work on it a little bit.
Well, one of the themes, in my topic board, it said you could write any of the themes, scenes, characters, or quotes. So, you know, Hatter, if you're struggling a bit, you could always write to the theme of spooky season. If you have a spooky poem, you could bring your spooky poem. That's totally okay with me.
You said the change of season?
Hmm?
You said the change of season?
Spooky. It's Tales of Terror.
Oh,
so Tales
spooky.
Of Terror would be the theme, right? So
right.
I love just to geek out. If you write on topic, great. If you go with the theme, scenes, characters, or quotes, the quotes you can go off topic, even if off topic from the topic itself. You could write to the themes, which is terrifying tales, right? If you have a terrifying tale, something spooky, you could bring that too. So don't overexert yourself. Just have fun, okay? I don't want to stress too much.
Okay.
All right. So you drop it in the topic board when you're all set, and then we'll go from there. So here we go. Let's see. Don't feed the Ewoks. I remember this one. So I love the Ewoks. I just love the Ewoks. I think it was my first Star Wars. I think the first Star Wars film that I ever seen was the Battle of Endor, which they tried to bury because they didn't want anybody knowing they made it. But I really loved it. But here we go. Don't Feed the Ewoks by Steven76. Cuddly, chubby, and oh so cute, with their purrs and bandanas tied, on hollow horns they blow and toot, with smiles and eyes so wide. Little wet noses and paw-like toeses, and a language all their own. But piss them off, they won't be like roses, they'll chew you right down to the bone. Walker of clouds would be calorie light, no talking of vitamin C. Crass cowboy spinning on spit delight, shaved Wookiee is tasty with brie. Beating trooper heads as if they were drums, flinging stumps at expensive equipment. Tough hides flick away blasters like thumbs. They're teddy bear juvenile delinquents. So don't feed the Ewoks, or they'll bite off your head. You'll be left on their moon bleeding out. Unless you have a droid of gold to be a god grand, then you'll help you. Then they'll help you in rebellion roots and home. And I just love this. There's so many things. Oh my gosh. So they are cuddly and chubby and oh so cute. I couldn't agree more with that first line. I just really love Ewoks. I just have a soft spot for them. But I love how you write this little part. They're wet to their noses and paw-like toeses. I don't know. It's just so cute because you're all like, oh, they're so cuddly. It kind of reminds me of the gremlins, right? So the gremlins, you know, it's just this cute little guy, and then you feed him after midnight, and they become terrors. And that's what it kind of reminded me of, which it maybe might have been a sin that you were going off to with the feed them, don't feed them. But I love how the cute and cuddly all of a sudden went to but piss them off, and they won't be like roses. They'll chew you right down to the bone. I also always really just love how you say Walker of Flouts instead of Luke Skywalker. And then, of course, the Crash Cowboy instead of Han Solo. You've got little code names for them. And I think my favorite two lines in this whole, it was this catch line, like not talking of vitamin C, Crash Cowboy spinning on Spitzer Light, shaved Wookiee is tasty with brie. I really like that part. I love Chewie. I really do, but I thought that was really funny. And you brought the scene to life, and you did such a great job, and I really had fun reading this one out loud. I know that I read it before, and I love hearing it, but reading it out loud myself on the show, it was hard for me not to laugh at certain points. And I think I slipped a little with the brie, but, you know, it's just so good. Rack and Tor, what do you think?
You know, me and food, I was going to go right, hone in on right the same thing. Anytime you want to offer up a recipe, so shaved Wookiee is good with brie. Sunday brunch, here we go. You know, it's like those kinds of tangents that they're so fan worthy to me, because, you know, you're acknowledging the character, but at the same time you're going off on a little, like, you know what would a Wookiee taste like if you fried him up? You know. It's one of those things. It's like your mind goes there, but no one wants to say it out loud. It's like, what is he under all that fur? You know, how much did you get out of a Wookiee?
I think this guy might have thought this at this point.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
I feel like Han might have been questioning what you're questioning right now when he said that.
Yeah.
How do we fry him up? Oh my gosh. Excellent comment, Rack. Thank you. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, but juvenile delinquents, I like that. Is it you're not supposed to feed Wookiees? Was that a thing?
No, it was Gremlins. It was a take on the movie Gremlins.
Okay. I think I got that. Yeah, clever. I wish I would have paid more attention to the movies. I didn't see much of Star Wars. I mean, I saw it once, I think, you know, each one.
I would say on the surface, it sounds like, you know, if you didn't know better, this person watched Gremlins more than they watched Star Wars, because they gave them all those other characteristics, but they brought it into the other story. So they did like a crossover.
Well, we did a Gremlins show too, and I love Gizmo. I really do love Gizmo. I think he's just the cutest thing ever. And the scene where he plays the piano, it's just one of my favorite scenes out of any film. So anytime someone brings it up, Gizmo, or rather his little gremlin friends, I love that he did that, yeah. Hatter, you know, you stick with me. You're going to be a Star Wars pro pretty soon, I think.
I like that first picture of the Wookiee. He's going to poke you with a stick.
Yeah. Well, they're all, yeah, I know. They're just so tough. I just love him. Yeah. So thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much, Stephen, for bringing that home and for dropping it. So, all right. So I'm going to play. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Hatter, I know I just got totally sidetracked. In the costume that you're looking at, that's Warwick Davis, and he played in, he's such a big Star Wars fan, and he was young when he played that role, and even into adulthood, he just loved Star Wars, and he reclaimed a lot of the role. He did many different roles, too, for, like, different people in the film, and it's just really great to see, yeah, like a fan be able to do that, but. All right,
who
so. Warwick Davis.
Yeah. Is it he played it? What else did he play?
He's in the suit. He's in that Ewok suit. Yeah, and he's scattered throughout. I mean, he's scattered throughout even the newer ones. He's just a huge fan. He does this spoof where he gets pulled over by the police, and I played it before. I don't think I have it anymore, but. Maybe I have it somewhere, but it's just so hilarious. All right, so I am going to, what am I going to do? I'm going to play my next set of, my next story time. And then after my next story time, we'll drop another poem. So whoever gets it there first, you or Deb, I know Deb might stop by. And if I don't have one by then, we'll just keep chatting and we'll keep going. And I mean, I have tons of Star Wars poems, definitely. So I don't know. I'm gonna stop saying huh? All right. So this one is called. Yeah, this little short story is called "The Dueling Monsters." Okay. So I thought this was pretty cool too. So here we go. Oh, and it's Darth Maul and General Grievous. Hey, I do have a General Grievous poem, and it would relate because this General Grievous is in this section, so maybe I'll bring that one again. So we'll have to, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. All right, here we go.
Dead by a Jedi named Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Maul nonetheless survived and made his way to a clan of witches known as the Night Sisters.
You shall rise! Rise!
But of course, Mother. Ow.
Uh-oh. Rise!
Hang on. A guy gets cut in half, lives, and gets put back together by a bunch of witches? Is anybody buying this?
Oh, tell us more.
Yeah, does he take the legs off to sleep?
But Maul was not the only one who returned after being left for dead. A loyal student of Count Dooku, once known as Kai Ming Hai Shilao, but reborn as General Grievous.
You clumsy fool!
Excuse me?
Kidding!
General Grievous, we are receiving a transmission from Lord Sidious.
How may I be of service, my lord?
There is an ancient Sith Saber located on the sixth moon in the Skardon system. You will find it and bring it to me.
And be warned, the Saber of Skardon's power is so great, anyone who attempts to wield it will be driven mad.
I shall not fail.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel with General Weezius there.
What?
It appears you are unarmed. And without a leg to stand on. Perhaps you need a cough.
Drop. That's not funny.
'Tis but a scratch.
Did anybody get that? 'Tis but a scratch.
I love that line.
I know. For people who are just joining us for Star Wars and may not understand, it was a joke on bringing Darth Maul back because everybody was like, he was cut in half. How did he come back in the new episode? But there is a, he does get brought to life by the Night Sisters. But a lot of people were like, what are you doing in Star Wars? Why? I love that brought him back. I'm thrilled. I don't care. Like, you go into the multiverse and they bring everybody back and they're like all different people and they do all crazy stuff. They can do it in Star Wars. It's fine. But there was a great story behind it. So it made sense. But some critics did not like it. And that's why they kind of made fun of it within there. Like, was anybody buying this? Like, this guy just got cut in half and he's got... And so they're kind of calling out the fans, you know, the people that were like, this is stupid. They're kind of calling themselves out in the middle of doing that. So I think this is so fun. And by the way, I do love that season, that thing too. And I think it's only proper we play this for like 3 seconds before we invite AP. I mean, if you're going to bring Monty Python, you've got to bring it right. Hey, AP.
Hey. Hey, Gangstar.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm good. I've just been grinding through some work issues, as you do. So I was there, and then I wasn't because I got a call. These things happen, you know. That's why you work.
Okay. All right, I'm so excited you're here. Have you been having a good week? I hope so.
I have. I have. And I've been doing some good poems, so that's a good start, some decent writing. So there's always that. And I have brought you a poem, Scott.
I am so excited. So you can – did you,
I have brought
drop
you a
on
poem.
The – I love when people bring you poems. You could put it on the – did you put it – if you did not put in the topic, you could put it right on the board. And
I'm gonna put it right on
your
the
board. Choice, you can plug your show now or after your poem.
Okay. Well, I'll do it after.
Okay.
And I will hit the go button here because this is one I wrote this morning, which sort of is on topic, which is – ATR2C3, and it goes a little bit like this. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was a show which had Lego in a ray, Lego in a great tub, and all over galaxy's edge, orchestral music dub, a Millennium Falcon wedge. There were blocks. The Force kept them together. Where the dark knocks or raised light as a feather, the same humble plastic that could shapes connect from a saber fantastic to a whole world reflect. And within my top 10 of Lego's biggest ever sets, the AT-AT Walker's Inn, a work of art, appetite whets, in pop.
Oh, my gosh, this is perfectly on topic. This is what I call on topic, just so you know, for further reference. AT,
okay.
This isn't sort of on topic. This is nailed it on topic. I'm so happy with what people bring me. This is so exciting. And my brother would be so he has a Lego room. And when I say Lego room, I mean he has a room in his house, and it has a unit that is taller than me, and it's like a fountain with, like, plastic things, and it has different Lego sets in it and, like, displays.
Yep.
And some are glass off. He is so – I mean, it's like, intense.
No.
He would really...
I have. I get it. I have looked several times at this particular set, Sky. It is that big AT-AT walker is 62 centimeters high. It's like 2 foot high.
Yeah.
Don't they call it an AT?
Oh, my God.
Don't they call it an AT-AT? At.
Yeah, they call it an AT-AT, but he could say AT-AT.
It is huge, and it is so funky. But, it's about $850, I mean, give or take. But, shit,
yeah,
what a
great
set.
Yeah, collectible. Like, Legos are serious. Like, Legos are serious collectibles. Legos. Yeah, they are. I know, because when my brother's birthday comes around, I know. I definitely know. So anybody who doesn't take the Lego seriously, they really need to look into what kind of collective items this is. But this poem is brilliant. I really love it. I love how you introed it a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then you bring in the Legos. I just think that's so fun. I also like how you kind of talk about, you talk about different things like with the Millennium Falcon. But then you say the Force is keeping them together, because they do just a good Lego stick. You can always tell if you get knockoffs. Or like the new block ones that really aren't Legos, they don't stay together though. Like they're just
not. They don't. No, you're right.
Yeah. So I love that you brought that in there, and then I also like how you put the dark Nox speaking of the hollowness and their light, and I don't know, just everything about this was just so fun and create. Like above all, I would say this is so creative. I love to see when people go, like, I'm like, I never would have thought to go here, and I just think that's so fun. Like, I probably would have went to Terror Way, but you just pulled it out of the hat and just really cool. And I love how at the end you're like a walker zen. Like, this is like, you look at this. The way that you feel about this walker is the way that I feel about, I keep seeing this gold, and like these, and they keep on coming up in my suggested stuff because I keep looking at it every year. This gold leaf, this gold flecked leaf, original drawing, set of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, and I keep looking at it, and I'm like, no.
Wow.
I don't need that. I don't need it. It's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. But
I'm with you.
I don't need it.
Completely with you. This thing just looks the bee's knees. It's just brilliant. It's just a beautiful piece of work.
Awesome. I love the poem. Thank you so much. Let me get you some comments. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
I think of the AT-AT walkers, and I remember that scene where they, tie the legs up with the rope, and then they kind of knock it over. But, like you said, the mechanics of it, I love, in any culture, any fantasy, anything, where they base it on, like, animal movements or things like that. It's like that's an inspiration for a tank. And that really is, a good place, a jumping off point. They'll look at what nature did. And there's reasons for, the design and the legs and the this and the that. It comes into play. When they're walking all over the place doing what it is that they're supposed to do, it's really a cool thing. The only thing, the thing for me, that when you talk about Legos, you got to mention like someone stepping on one in the middle of the night.
Because
I think anybody that's ever owned Legos has like, at one point or another stepped on one.
Bloody hurt. Something about, by the way.
Yeah.
Stuck on it. Bloody hurt.
It's just a scratch. It's but a scratch. Yeah. I now that we're getting into this conversation, AP, I distinctly, if I remember correctly, and I think I do, when I did the show on, which one was it? And they brought the AT walkers back. The new film where they all die at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, and I specifically remember
Rogue One.
Calling in.
Yes.
Rogue One, yes, thank you.
Yes.
And I specifically remember you calling in and saying that was your favorite part, was because they had this beautiful remade and they just paid tribute and homage to that.
Yeah.
And I, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember you were like in awe, right?
They did, and they were the earlier version of the Walker Skies. So it was completely aligned, sort of, in terms of, you know, date and time and all that stuff. They were slightly smaller and slightly less Walkerish, but they sort of clearly were the version before the ones that we saw later on, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that kind of continuity, right? Like,
yeah.
This is like
yeah.
the draft of the before.
Yeah, yeah. Agree.
Brilliant.
Yeah, somebody really thought about it. Yeah, really thought about it.
Awesome. Yeah. That was a great film. AP, thank you so much for the brilliant poem. Had it dropped. But he did
yep.
mention what was kind of what was going on Saturday, but I'd like you to, if you'd like to plug as well, if you want to.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. It's the last crystal ball is the theme, which I think is a really cool theme. Nice and sort of open, and so do with it what you will. But yeah, the last crystal ball.
Okay, so we plugged wrong because it says open poetry. So I'm glad you said something.
Oh, hold on.
Your topic,
oh, hold on. But we've
your
changed.
Topic
there you go.
Poetry.
We've changed.
Yeah.
There you go. We have changed. Remember that. We've changed. You're right. We've changed. We are having... No. You, thank you, Sky. You reminded me. I had a conversation yesterday, which I completely forgot. We are going to do open poetry every second week and then a theme every second week. And so that theme I just told you about is not for this week, but for next week. It is open poetry this week.
I think that's a cool theme. It reminded me of Labyrinth, the film with David Bowie, and
yes.
he's got the crystal ball. And
I
and
really
then he,
liked
one
Labyrinth.
Favorite,
I thought that was a great film. It had a great theme song, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love that. We did a show here on Storyboards with that. But one of my favorite parts
yeah.
is when she starts losing her memories in the balls, and they
yeah.
start like drifting away. I think that
yes.
is such a brilliant scene, and that whole idea I just really loved. And then obviously the ballroom scene was amazing, right? And the MC Sketcher, which I'm sure you're probably a fan of that, knowing you. At the end with the Labyrinth,
yes.
they really just kind of took MC Sketcher's
yes.
work, and they just did really great with it. I
yeah, no.
brilliant.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Really clever. You know, again, really, you know, somebody thought about it a lot. So, yeah. but so that's open poetry. Thank you, Sky, for noticing that. I'm picking me up because you're absolutely right. It is. It's open poetry this week.
Well, we got a sneak peek for future, so that's always a good thing.
Oh, that's exactly right. So there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, well, I'm going to just
right,
be stage left.
Thank you so much.
Sky, as always.
And I hope you have a good day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
He always says bye the same. It's really, I love it.
You know, and when you say 'tis but a scratch, I can't help but think of all the things that have happened to him that if anyone would be saying 'tis but a scratch, it would certainly be AP.
That's so funny. All right. Whew. I am going to actually, I still have one more story. No, I have,
General Grievous, General Grievous.
Oh, no, that's my poem. I'm going to bring that poem, yes. But I mean, I have one more story from the clips.
Ah.
But I'm gonna hold off on that, and I'm gonna read my General Grievous poem. If I could find it, I think. All right, so fandom poetry, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I also have Darth Maul, but I'm gonna do the Grievous because I just love. I feel like they need to do they just need to make a series. Or a film. I'd be okay with the miniseries that they're doing of Grievous because
okay.
they don't actually ever go into his storyline
yeah.
except in the fandom. And I think his storyline is so, so amazing. Like, it is just so, I don't know, it really gets to me. It's really, wow. And you don't ever get to see that. You don't ever get to see that in the films or the movies. I mean, you're either going to have to read the books, the comic books, and you're going to have to read it. You're going to have to go back into the fandom, into the canon, and you're going to have to look at it, which is great to see it in there as well, but I would just really love to see it on, I would love to see it on the TV. I would love to see it, what they would, how they would do that. But this is, and if you don't know his story, I'm going to tell you his story and my poetical interpretation, which is what I'm gonna read right now. So, Kaiman Jai Shalil, the Grievous One. In the voice of Count Dooku, because I love Count Dooku, so this is in the voice of Count Dooku. And I don't do Christopher Lee, so just imagine Christopher Lee. All right, here we go. I see in the Force a Sidious plot, the dreamer and the drunk one, to yield his will to the Bogan, sun to the gold-rimmed eye and the red-skinned reptilian, with bat-like gaunt, shadowing grimace, jaw and thin frilled with tusks, long-stemmed arms, sprouting four-fingered claws, the toe-walkers of wild space. Though at present this young Kaylee warlord is but a Tatooine grain amongst star system dunes, he is hailed less mortal, more kin to the gods, wearing the grave of his father, carved from skull and bone of Mumu husk, a trail of blood paint to quench its thirst. The Kalishur Fradkin, feeling in wrath as devout in faith, living both in spirit and body, awarding fealty to the Shan, and tucking honor in their teeth. But the one called Dreamer, dreamt by Rondora Lee Kamar, will soon find these bitter salts, a creaky ale gulped by lover's tongue. And as the body of his second self is torn limb from limb, lost to the Genoa Sea, stolen and stowed by fate, he will bear a new moniker, the Tortured, the Fallen God, the Grievous One. It is on the hide of his of this rage retribution will reign, when the Huck Wars will turn and know it's his grievance. But oh, how cruel is fate, for when the Kalish gain freedom and chase the Yamri back to the scourges of their home, the insectoid sentient species will cry wolf to the Republic. Dash creatures they are, playing parliament and coin, silent in oppression, now boisterous in its effect. They will aid such terrorists and make enemy of my pawn. Here is where I will blend to shadow. While Kalish and Squalor turn to the Trade Confederacy, the puppets of doom, I see in the Force a Sidious plot, the dreamer and the dreamt one. Grievous in his attempts to save his planet, he'll yield to the Bogan. And when he refuses to yield enough, a light of the Sith will render him obedient. With ion bomb meant to chamber, I will sculpt and remake poison mind, lobotomized memory, chain link cybergenetic limbs, till all that remains are those gold-rimmed eyes, a meat sack of housed organs, and a thin ghost of spinal tap. I will raid the dead, siphoning midichlorians from the cadaver body. My creation will not wield the Force, but he will wield the saber of Cyphodius. He will wake with no gods, no honor, a slave to his construction, the night slayer, the butcher of Hyperion, the dreamless and the once dreamt and pumped.
No, I love that. Like you say, you know, his origin, I guess, is not out there or as much as it could be. And the story of how he came to be, you know, is another layer to the character. And, you know, everyone's enamored with, I think, the four arms and the way that, you know, he's the scene where he's got like the one spinning like a windmill and then the other ones, you know, he's wielding all the lightsabers and everything. And the fact that he does have the midichlorians, but he's not using the Force, you know, again, it's another layer. And, you know, his lobotomy and the tragedy that led to his creation, you know, it makes you look at him differently, for sure. And you capture all of that in your piece.
Thank you, Rack. I think I am a sucker for a sad story. Whenever I see a bad guy, I'm like, okay, what happened to them? You know, and maybe that's why I work well with the kids I do. You know, everybody else is like, they're terrors. And I'm like, well, are they? Like, what happened to make them this way? And it's just, they're young. Like, they're like little people, you know?
I think there's something to that idea of devil's advocate and thinking that, you know, that there's usually a reason why, you know, you may look at them and not understand, but there may be a good reason why people do what they do or act how they act. You know, obviously it makes more sense to them. They've lived through it. But, you know, sometimes you can convey it in a way that's relatable and understandable, if not, you know, empathetical.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rack. I appreciate it. And while we were talking, someone showed up. Hi, Deborah Lee.
Hello.
Deb.
How are you guys doing?
Hi. Good. We're hanging out, talking General Grievous, Star Wars.
Well,
I don't think
you sound like
you're
having a good time.
Yeah.
Always. Guys, shows are always fun.
I'm glad.
Did
I know you
did
put
on purpose,
tons
Rock?
Of work into them.
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, Deb. Everybody seems
I said,
low
I know
to
you
me.
Put, yeah, no, I know you put tons of work into them and dig up clips and stuff to share.
I do. I absolutely love it. Rock said a magic word, and then we're going to get your poem on here.
It's fun. Look at the fun we're having.
Oh, my gosh. Tyrion. I just want to watch Game of Thrones, but I just don't have the time. I just want to watch it all over again, but I have too much on my list to watch.
I've never seen
it. Put it on
your
short list.
You've never seen it?
Never, not even one episode.
Wow.
But weren't you like nailing it every, I think I had 13 episodes or 14 episodes of Game of Thrones, and you were bringing character rights to everyone, nailing it, as I recall?
If I write a character thing, I look them up and like you like to just love to send me to study, so I do homework. That's how I got PO's.
I do. But I'm going to tell you, I remember. You nailed them. I remember distinctly. I'm like, and I think I remember you saying that, too. You're like, yeah, I've never seen it. And I'm like, what? I, you know? Great.
Yeah, no.
Maybe
honey,
one day
just,
you'll
you
watch it.
When they advertise it, they show clips. And I could remember pieces that I would see and like, because of different skits and other people talking, I've heard of some of the characters and a lot of people talk about it, but I have never seen, maybe one day I'll binge it, but so far, none.
Yeah, it's at most libraries. If you have a weak stomach, I wouldn't do it though. It's to the strong stomach.
Yeah, no. Horror movie fans, that wouldn't bother me, but I just recently binged all the Harry Potter movies and Sons of Anarchy. So So that's how far behind in TV land I am.
That's perfect, Deb, because somebody might be putting together an epic Harry Potter thing, but I have to get through Star Wars. But someone might be working on Tropics and putting together something very epic and a lot like the Game of Thrones series. I won't say who that someone might be, but you'll be prepared.
Well, at least
when
you have
happens.
A little bit of knowledge of this one. And I have to admit, by the time I got done the binge of all the movies, I did feel that sense of loss like all you Harry Potter fans did. Like, I was very bummed that it was over. My daughter's every bit as into it as you are, Sky, like, you know, waiting to get the book when it comes out each time, and she read it all, and then she had total joy when the movies came out, and then even more joy when she got to run down to Disney to go to the Harry Potter world and have butterbeer or something like that. I don't know, but, yeah, she's a mega fan.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And so I can't wait till it's cold so I could wear my Hufflepuff scarf. And one of the best things is that I'm in the fifth grade this year because my students just keep getting older and older, and they just keep me with my students. And the fifth grade team, they have four teachers that run the fifth grade team. And they separated all their classrooms into Hogwarts. So there's actually, it's right outside their door, it's Slytherin, Gryffindor things, and they're doing house cup points, but for behavior. So they get, during lunch, if they're behaved and all that, then they get a certain amount of points, and they run this thing all year for the house cup, and it's so fun, but I'm in house Ravenclaw. And I told the person, I said, listen, I know that you're Ravenclaw, but I'm still wearing my Hufflepuff scarf. So it's
Ravenclaw.
So fun. It's
I think
so,
that's what her
love it.
That's what her travel cup is. Ravenclaw. It's got the emblem or something, I think.
Yeah. I'm a Hufflepuff. I
called her big girl sippy cup.
I have a super important question. Who was your favorite character? Now that you've watched them all, just curious.
I can't think of her name at the moment, but I kind of like the girl.
Hermione.
Yes, her. I like the fact that she was sort of like an underdog when they started. But then, I don't know, because believe it or not, I got a mega kind of the owls too. Favorite.
I love Emma Watson too.
I still think it's her.
The mudblood.
I like the lady. Didn't she turn to the cat?
So Professor McGonagall. She is. That's what I wrote you a poem for. One of your contacts, because I love her. And Maggie Smith, I love Maggie Smith as an
actress. Maggie Smith, okay,
so,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm very much like
her.
Yeah.
So my favorite character is Snape, but Professor McGonagall has got, like, right slightly behind him, like a hare's nose, like, right behind him. Oh, and Hatter just popped up. Okay, so without further ado, you brought me a poem?
I brought you a terrible poem, but I tried.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sure it's not terrible. But and Deb, is, I'm never going to tell you not to write me a new poem because I love that you write me new poems. But if every once in a while you wanted to go to a pre-write for a theme, you really could. I would not be offended at all. I really wouldn't. So,
well,
but I'm sure I'm going to love it.
Well, you know, part of my thing was I just went looking for movie quotes, and this time I couldn't find them. And I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? So I started reading the synopsis, and it was, like, mind-blowing. And I'm sure I left out half of the movie, but that's the angle I took. But real original title, it's called Lego Star Wars, Terrifying Tales. But yeah, here we go.
Okay.
The Lego Moon make an emergency landing on a volcanic planet in the Cartwheel Galaxy. They meet a crime boss and a boy mechanic remodeling the castle on the edge of the city, purchased from the Darth Vader to renovate into an all-inclusive five-star hotel of luxury. Vader's servant shows the Lego men around if the starship is repaired and the two can fly. So they journey down to the castle underbelly and hear tales of terror from the servant guy. Stormtrooper armor lines the hallways inside. The puppet of Vader animates as they walk by. From the chill and the shadows, darkness rises. Artifacts are found as the group travels down. Spats fly around the ceiling in the Sith chamber. Axes and helmets and lightsabers are found. All are tempted by the dark side in the shadow, but they find a Wookiee Paw as they travel around. Servant guide summons the mask and a saber. Now battle droids follow the men as they go. But the men confront their fear and the darkness, leaving the crime boss with a devastating blow. He'll not open a hotel, just a bed and breakfast, with all the artifacts in the darkness below. And pull. See? Harvey.
Brilliant. That, I love your idea of a crummy poem. What are you talking about? You know, most of the time, I feel like we're like our worst critics. And I feel that way mostly whenever I enter a contest. And sometimes the worst thing I can do is read an entry by a poet I like. Because once I read that entry and I'm like, well, they did it great. I'm not going to try to outdo that now. So I have to make sure they don't read it because then I'm like, I'm not going to beat that. Like, what, you know, they already did everything that they were supposed to do. They did a great job. And then I'm finding, which by the way, I assembled my first book and it's going to be up. It's going to the print shop. But I remember going through it and every poem I'm like, crap, no, can't put that in there, that's crap. it's like what we do to ourselves. This is brilliant, Deb. I love it. I love it because, if I were to open this show and no one knows what we're talking about, and midway or a little bit over midway is perfect too. But like if I had this at the beginning, I would have been like, oh, call it the beginning because you're gonna set up our show for how people can understand what's happening and understand the premise behind this little short film. And it was so fun. I love it. I love how you went through. And same thing, like, when you're doing, like, if I watch a lot of book reviews on YouTube, like, I'll watch a book review or watch a film review, but this is, like, poetry form, so you took that, and I do that a lot with characters. I take a character story that's not my story, but it's through my interpretation, and then I'll put my own spin on it, and I'll do my own things, but it's still not my story. It's somebody else's story. I'm just doing a character, right? You did that, but with the film. And I think that's great. I think that's awesome. I love how you kind of, where was that underbelly part? I really like that part. So they journey down to the castle underbelly and hear tales of terror from the servant guy. I love that you put the servant guy. As much as I love Darth Hideous, as much as I love that, I love the servant guy even more because it's like, who the hell is this guy? Like, just around. Calling himself Darth Hideous, like you didn't even, like you're just like the servant guy. Like I really, it's so simple, and the thing is that it's funny when you, to me it's funny anyway when you're just like tales from the servant guy, like just it doesn't even deserve a name, it's just some servant guy, and I like that because the great thing about this film is that it has an undercurrent of humor. Like the whole thing, the whole time I was laughing, I was really belly laughing, while. And I'm pretty straight faced. I'll be watching a film with my friends, and they'll look at me, and they'll be like, "Did you think that was funny?" I'm like, "I did think that was funny." And And they're like, well, yeah, well, I'm watching a movie. So I'm pretty straight-faced a lot of the time, believe it or not. And I was laughing through this whole thing. So just something about the way that you said that, I really, really enjoyed. And if I've never seen this film, I'm going to picture all these things happening because of your great details. Stormtrooper armors lines the hallways inside, the puppet of Vader, you know, animates as they walk by. I really just like that. I mean, if you people have never seen this, they don't know what it's about, they can read this and really get a feel. But you don't even give any spoilers, too. Like, you not really. There's not too many spoilers in here. I don't even really think there's that much spoilers. Except maybe like the bed and breakfast, but I mean, that's really not a spoiler. So, like, I feel like somebody can just read this and see what's going on, and I just, yeah, absolutely brilliant. Thank you. I went on forever,
wow.
Didn't I?
I'm happy that you liked it, because, yeah, no, thank you very much.
Was it a Lego movie?
Yeah, there's a Christmas. There's a Christmas special too, so there's a Lego Christmas special. So if you're wondering what we're doing in December, somebody can already tell you that we're doing a Lego Christmas special. let me give you some more comments, Deb. I don't know how long we have, and I don't want to. I mean, I talked a lot, so rack and tour. If you're still there.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not going anywhere. You know. It had a feel, and you know, because we are from where we're from, I'm going to say one word, and you're going to know exactly what I mean. The medieval times castle, you know, it was there was a lot of parallels. Like, you know, I could see, like, if you were walking through the medieval times castle, you know, but in the Star Wars era, the similarities of you know, we have the benefit of actually having a castle in the area that we could go and hang out at, you know, and hang around. So she's got the feel of it without ever having to leave her house, you know, combining the Star Wars features of you know, the armor and everything else, but you know, the feel of the castle and whatnot. Well done.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And yeah, we could go to the medieval castle and have some big giant turkey legs with no utensils. And watch.
I don't know if I could do that. Yeah.
And we can watch the knights fight with their lances.
I do love the idea, but I really like, I use my utensils like a British person uses their utensils. Like, when British people eat, they're like, why are you using utensils for that? Because that is not even what, you know, like, but I do. I use utensils like a British. I should have been in Britain because I use them like I'm English. I use them for things that people are like, that's so weird. Why are you doing that? But I don't like to get my hands dirty. And like, yeah, so I don't know if I would survive. Hyrule, what did you think about the poem?
Just put a fork in the pocket.
Did you watch the movie?
But I need a knife, too. I need a fork and a knife. I'm high maintenance.
No, Hatter.
Sorry,
Hatter.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, it's.
I just read this synopsis.
I got. I can't. I'm not hearing you guys very well, for one thing.
Did you just
ask
me if I watched?
I don't know the characters. I don't know the characters. I didn't see the
trailer. It's Darth Vader open the bed and breakfast castle.
Yeah. Well, next time you got to check out the clip if you have time.
I knew enough of the characters from watching Star Wars movies, and they just changed the names around a little bit. And I just tried to play with that knowledge plus what I read about the Lego movie to try and come up with something to entertain my teacher so I could stay teacher's pet, just saying.
I think if there was a teacher's pet award, I think Deb might take the win. I don't
know. Deb gets the orange.
I love her down the tube poems. I want her to put them all in a file because I just feel like if I forget what I have learned about, I could just go to Deb's poems. Remember that I learned this stuff. I love it.
More homework.
Yeah.
I got one thing to say about Lake.
No, I'm Deb.
An experience.
All right, Henry, did you want to make any more further on your comments?
Oh, I said a loss. Sorry, Deb. I know the characters.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's cool. I understand.
But
you
I
aced it, and I do
my
truly
experience with Legos. What I think of Legos.
That's okay. I truly believe that if no one knew anything about Star Wars, if they sat down and they read this, then they're gonna be able to follow it along. Because I mean, you did it. It was a great explanation. I really do think that, and that's a great thing about good poetry, good writing, is that you can take a subject and have no previous knowledge on it and still be able to connect with the poetry if it's done well. And I truly believe that. And I definitely think this is one of that you did it. So, really well done. Thank you. And do you want to plug your show or any other show? So Heather and AP both plugged Saturday. I plugged mine, and Beckentor plugged his, so you can plug whatever else you would like.
Oh, okay, well, then I will just tell you guys about this coming Monday. I just have a collection of dark art, all kinds of stuff, everything from a scene from Reagan in the Exorcist movie. There's ghosts and skulls and all kinds of creepy art to choose from. So, you know, take it anywhere it might lead you. And that's Monday at 10. And the entire month will be filled with one kind or another of dark art, leading all the way up to All Hallows Eve, which is, of course, the night before Halloween when we celebrate monsters with Rock and Tour at the end of the month. So step into the darkness and join me every Monday night at 10. Just pick your art and run with it.
I do want you to know, Deb, that I did take a picture. Actually, I took like 5 pictures, but I took one. And I know that I didn't officially claim it as an IOU, but I am going to give it to you as an IOU, and I did claim it. And I already have a whole character idea for a D&D character, for a draconian sorcerer who does blue lightning, because you had a blue lightning one up there. No one took it. But I waited to the last minute to write it last Monday. And then there was a change, and I had to get my gi hemmed, and because I wasn't wearing the overcoat because it was too big. I was just wearing a T-shirt, and we had to switch to the overcoat, so I had to go get it hemmed, and then I ended up sleeping over my friend's house, and I couldn't really write a poem on my phone and try to get that done with the hemming, and so I didn't come by, but I unofficially claimed one for an IOU. I hope that's okay.
Absolutely. I always love when you show up with IOUs.
Right. Okay. Well, Deb, I know you probably have a lot to do, but I appreciate you.
I appreciate you back, my favorite teacher. And I am going to go finish my salad now. Love and respect you guys.
But think about how many geeky things you're going to know.
I know, right?
Good night.
Night.
Night, Deb.
Awesome. Okay, Hatter. Hatter, I am going to close out with you, but I would like to play my last clip because I usually like to do a poem, a clip, a poem, a clip. And I do have one more clip left. It is the Wookiee Paw. And I really, really love this one. I love them all, but I really love this one. And the great thing about this one is that I did it all in one go, so I don't have to keep pressing them, which is great. Press it once. So we're going to listen to this clip, and then Hatter is going to be our last poem tonight. So, I mean, unless Hatter, are you in a rush at all?
No, no, I'm all right.
Okay. So I'm scrolling. Okay, here we go. Scrolling. All right. So Wookiee's Paw. I just really love this one. Okay. I may have deleted the wrong thing.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, here it is. Okay. Phew. My goodness. I delete the clips as I go so because I do not like clutter in my space, even online. So I delete the clips as I go. All right, here we go. Here we go.
The droid on the South Ridge broke down. Again. Useless. Luke, I want you to go to Mos Espa and get a new one.
But Uncle Owen, I was going to Tashi Station to drop off my application for the Academy.
You get your head out of the stars. Harvest is coming up, and we're shorthanded. Now go.
I'll show. I will be a pilot one day and get off this dustball planet.
You look like you want to get off this dustball planet. I got something that might help.
What is that?
The Wookiee's Paw. Make a wish, and your dream instantly comes true.
I wish I was off this rock.
Hey, you look like you want to get off this rock. You should join the Imperial Academy.
Really? And as he wished, the Wookiee's Paw took Skywalker off of Tatooine. Yet he still wasn't satisfied.
No! I can't see a thing in this helmet!
I wish I was a pilot.
Sir, what should I do with this extra pilot gear?
Give it to him. He looks too short to be a stormtrooper anyway.
I'm a pilot!
Move.
Most impressive. What's your name?
Luke Skywalker, sir.
Skywalker? I knew a Skywalker once.
Lord Vader?
Huh? Oh, yeah, right. You are sensitive with the Force. You remind me of a young me. I will train you.
Whoa. I only wish I could be as powerful as you.
Then come with me.
Actually, I wish to be more powerful than you.
Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them.
I can still see.
Firm touch. Focus.
It tickles. Oh.
More like this. Try again. Dark side of the Force. Yet I sense you are still unsatisfied.
I want more. I wish I could fight the rebellion and become the most famous pilot in the galaxy. Under attack. Vader, scramble your men.
All wings report in.
Red 2, standing by.
Red 10, standing by, Princess Leia.
Red 5, standing by.
Good to have you, General Kenobi. And thank you for rescuing me earlier.
No, thank you for rescuing me from that trash compactor, Your Highness. I wasn't sure I'd make it off the Death Star alive.
Lock at foils in attack position. I'm making my run. Cover me.
Enemy fighters coming our way.
My beggars can't get back home.
I'm hit. I can't stay with you.
Get clear, Obi-Wan. You can't do any more good back there.
I'm on the leader.
The 180 reverse proton maneuver. Oh, yeah.
I don't think so, Flyboy.
You're going to be the most famous pilot in the galaxy.
Yes, for blowing off the Death Star.
No.
I love it. He blew it up even when he was on the bad side. It's like Star Wars nightmare right there. Luke goes to the the Imperial Academy and still ends up blowing up the Death Star. So, I mean, that's fun. Maybe that was a true story. All right, Hatter. You are ready to go.
Okay. It's called No Legos. Short brevity. It goes like this. One thing I found having kids in my home was more than expected from living alone. Toys scattered here, more over there, clutter build rooms filling my chair. In the dark, I became quite insane, screaming, "You son of a witch." While walking around there on the ground, I stepped on a red Lego brick. Little girl cries with tears in my eyes. Nothing had hurt so bad. So out to the curb, I had a few words. No Legos for this crippled dad.
Oh my gosh. So we were like literally, I think perhaps this might have been a fruition of Raconteur's comment earlier about, you know, that something has to be said about stepping on those Legos. So I think you really
something
felt
about
that. I think you had a little bit of connection there with Raconteur's rage as well. And I think this is so fun that you went. And it's so like when I do these topics, I really don't like to be super restrictive on the poems and because I don't really like to restrict creativity. That's why I always say themes, characters, and/or quotes. And then I always say the quotes can go anywhere. And the reason why I do that is because I know that I bring the fandom myself. I bring clips. We talk about the film. Sometimes we talk about the actors, the characters. So when you guys bring poems, I just want you to bring poetry for poetry's sake and be inspired by the topic in general at all. And the fun thing about that is that I get such different types of poems. And this is definitely like now we're talking about Lego Star Wars, but you're talking about stepping on a Lego brick and you taking a little bit of a tumble and hating them for life because, you know, they cause permanent damage. And Legos should come with a warning, and that is so true. A lot of stuff together. Oh, my gosh, I'd be so angry. It wasn't a Lego brick, but in all honesty, I almost got taken out for good when I was younger. When I was 18, I think it was like 2 weeks after I turned 18, I was chasing a child around, and there was a stuffed animal. I think it was a giraffe, but it had like cardboard on it, and it was big. So it was pretty heavy, and I tripped over the giraffe, and I fell into a glass table. And the glass table didn't break. It just braced itself against the wall, and then I slid along the edge. And if it would have been 2 inches lower and 2 inches to the side, I would be paralyzed. It would have cut my spinal cord. So I got lucky in the fact that, I mean, 2 inches higher. So if it was 2 inches over and 2 inches higher, not even 2 inches, less than 2 inches over and about maybe 2 inches higher, it would have been, it would have severed my spinal cord. So when you think about, I mean, it was pretty horrific. In general, I mean, it was pretty bad by itself, trust me. But it still required, like, a tourniquet, and there was a lot of things. But you don't when you're playing with these little things, they really cause a lot of damage. And so can giraffes, if you don't know. Excellent poem. Thank you so much, Hatter. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you did a great job with it, Hatter. There's something about Legos. I can't help but think about, you know, the one straight piece that finds its way under your foot in the middle of the night. It's you know, elaborate projects and all the creative things that you could do with it. It always ends up being like one loose one, and it's where it's not supposed to be. And it's invariably underfoot, and it just hurts like the dickens. So, you know, to me, that's just, you know, I mean, of all the things you could do with Legos, you know, the simulations, you can make this, that, and the other thing, cars and movements and the beautiful spaceships and replicas from Star Wars and AT-AT walkers and of all the things, it's like the universal is like ow. Because it winds up under your foot, and I don't know, it's almost like there's a spell on it, you know. But aside from that, I think Legos are brilliant. They're beautiful. Like Legoland, you know, it's its own place, it's its own time zone, its own thing, and you know, it deserves its notoriety. It really does.
Excellent.
Yeah, the only thing that hurts worse is those metal, those little jacks. You know, those metal
ones. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, you've never thrown a ninja star that almost hit your foot. I have.
those are designed to be weapons.
I know. Thank you so much, Hatter. I do appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for coming up with something. And that's all, folks. I mean, it's been a really fun night. It goes by so fast. I do want to thank Raconteur, Hatter, AP Taylor, and Deborah Lee and Steven 76 for all calling, submitting, sharing your poetry, your time, your conversation, and the fun. And I'm just, I don't know. It's fun. So, we are closing out with the film score, like we opened with, and these ones are called, what are these ones called? They are called Night Fever and The Tale of Dueling Monstrosities. That's the titles of the song. They're rather short, so it's going to be a short outro song. But I do have an after-show clip, as always. But the thing with the after-show clip, it's not really a clip. It's a preview of what we're going to be doing next week, because I just thought it would be fun just to press a button as a little preview of what we're doing next week. So stick around. Huh?
Night Fever, Night Fever.
Yeah. All right, thank you. And playing us out. And then we'll do the after show clip. So stick around. Good luck. Here we go.
Okay.
No going, just no volume. Really over now. Awesome. End of show. This is the after show where I play a clip and go from there. And I, like I said, I love Shirley Jackson. And the thing I liked about this version of Hill House is that they completely dismantled all the characters and rewrote their characters, kept their names. But they did put direct quotes from the book into the series, which I very much enjoyed. And this is one of those quotes quoted, and it's a Shirley Jackson quote. And so it's actually the end of the book. This is like the last line in the book. So here we go.
No live organism can continue to exist sanely under conditions of absolute reality. Even larks and katydids are supposed by some to dream. Hill House, not sane, stood by itself against its hills holding darkness within. It had stood so for 100 years before my family moved in, and might stand 100 more. Within, walls stood upright. Bricks met neatly. Floors were firm. Silence lay steadily against the wood and stone of Hill House. And whatever walked there, walked alone.
awesome. It's a little taste for next week. I will write one disclaimer, and I noticed while I was listening, actually, is the actual text from the book is actually 80 years. And I'm not really sure why they switched it to 100. I'm not sure why they did that, but I just want to make that distinction. But that's it. That's it, folks. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah. That's all, folks.
I mean, do you really want that? Do you really want to go there? We can go there. But I'm still doing my end quote. But here we go.
That's
all, folks. I bet you didn't know I had that in there. Maybe you did. Maybe that's why you did it. All right. Good night.
Good night. Listen to Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.